It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright. So, Ezzy will ruin it. Do you have something you want to say? A little bit? She's off her hunger strike, so.
Well, that's good.
Alright. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that does not believe in moon landing deniers. We've heard that such people exist, but we've never seen them. We don't really believe it.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the photographic evidence, it just looks so
fake. Yeah. Every shot of somebody denying the moon landing is clearly photoshopped.
Yeah, I mean, just...
And the shadows,
shadows are all wrong.
Clearly, you can see in the video of Buzz Aldrin punching that guy. That, yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 211.
211. That has some significance somewhere.
Probably.
I don't know. If you are listening to this on your 211th birthday, let us know.
Yeah. That would be quite a
coincidence.
Let
a lot of people know. That's weird. Yeah.
And take a picture, but...
Yeah, carefully.
Yeah, don't Photoshop it, because we'll be able to.
We will be able to. Take it on the moon. What's weird is the internet lives forever, so, like, centuries after we're dead, and they figured out how to live that long, somebody will actually do it. Anyway, for those of you just joining us for the first time ever, welcome to your 211th birthday. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourself, specifically yourself, you do this, email that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its existential servants, really, I should just look up e-words before.
That was a good one, though.
I feel like I've used it, though. I don't know.
I don't remember.
But we, its e-servants.
Now, that one you've said before.
Yes. It's just... shorthand. Draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That is the entire show. So buckle up.
Strap on the nitro.
Exactly. So how has your week been, William?
Well, Friday I did go see What We Do in the Shadows at the Fleur Theater in Des Moines.
Wait. We talked about this.
Yeah.
What is this about? Remind me.
It's some of the people that were involved in Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, yeah.
Made a mockumentary about vampires.
That's right. Oh, damn. I forgot that. I might have taken us to see it at Film Scene if I had remembered.
Oh, it's going to be there for a while.
Yeah. It's not my day night now.
But, If it's in a city near you somewhere, which it probably is going to be, I'd recommend seeing it. It's pretty funny.
It was good?
Yeah, it was all right. And then I worked with my friend Chris on some Briar Rose-related stuff, which...
Oh, the other half of Pilot Fish.
Yeah. I'll have to update everybody on that stuff when I can. I was going to send an update early in the week, but... other things got in the way.
And then we can find out what happened to Blood Sparrow.
I saw most of my family while I was there, too, kind of last minute. Like, we got up there sort of early on Friday and had lunch with my dad and my sister, and then my brother and his wife and Chris and his wife joined us at the theater. And I guess we had supper with my brother and his wife too. And then the next day I was going to see my other brother who lives in Des Moines, because he's like not even a block away from Chris. Huh. But I got to Chris's late, and I stayed at Chris's later than I intended to. So the one person I didn't see was the person whose house I was like practically right next door to. But it was a good weekend.
And then, you always got to prioritize. I mean, there's always that one sibling that nobody likes.
No, it's not that. It's just...
can't live with him.
He wasn't going to be interested in the film, so I wasn't going to see him there. And he was working on Friday. My sister had Friday off. And Dad was in Des Moines for doctor's appointments anyway, so that just worked out. But then... So yeah, Chris and I worked on some music, and we talked a little bit about cutting together the whole thing, because he kind of wants to help with that too, which will be nice.
Yeah.
But we still have files we're waiting on and a few other things. So, but then for most of this week, I've been ill. Actually, I was.
Oh dear.
I went to spent most of.
Is it the Ebola?
No.
Have you checked with WebMD? It could be the Ebola.
You got a pizza coming?
Yeah, we got a couple things coming. Baby, food's here.
Okay, but I don't have my pants on.
William will have to get it then.
How's it going?
Good. Hey.
And there you are. Thank you.
Thanks.
Where am I putting this?
Well, one of them is a pizza, and that goes to me, and one of them is a calzone, and it goes to Trish. Yeah. You've worked in food service before. Figure it out.
Yeah, we get when you work in food service, they give you this magical power where you can just know what's in a box.
Exactly.
Okay. Baby, you got to come in here. It's confusing William.
This must be the pizza.
You think?
Mine must be.
I'm
guessing. So you're going to have to...
Is it pizza, baby?
He thinks I...
I don't know yet. I'm holding
a
microphone.
Oh, yeah, this one slips around like a calzone.
That's...
Oh, I forgot to order you extra marinara. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I actually did good.
Gorgeous. All right, keep going. I'm going to eat.
Well, I don't really have very much to say. Tuesday, I spent most of the night in the emergency room because...
Emergency room? What did you have?
I didn't know, and the symptoms suggested, like, walking pneumonia or something.
Jeebus.
Which, you know, you got to find out if you got that, right? I mean, fever, you know, cough, a whole bunch of symptoms that pointed to it. And I had a migraine for a couple days, which was pretty horrible.
Hey.
Lost a lot of weight in a short period of time, so anyway... We went in and they checked and they decided I didn't have that, which was good. But they agreed that I probably should not just go home with this horrible migraine. So they treated me for that, which was pretty interesting. I'd never been treated for migraines before.
What is the treatment?
An intravenous drug of some kind.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And that was it. I haven't had the... it took the migraine away, and I haven't had it since, which is nice, because apparently what I have is kind of a bronchitis, maybe a cold, viral infection, you know. And that coupled with the migraine, which was probably the thing that was giving me the fever, because I get fevers when I get migraines.
Uh-huh.
It just made all the symptoms seem really bad. But anyway, so by the time I left the ER, I was feeling better. Yesterday was okay. And today, you know, was even better. I'm pretty much normal today, I think.
All right, if you get me sick, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, I don't even know if I'm contagious
so
right now.
No end of podcast kiss, like usual.
Well, Trish always looks forward to it.
I don't care. You're sick. It's not.
So, yeah, that's why I didn't get very much else done for the rest of the week, because I was ill. I mean, Chris was sending me stuff on the project and everything to ask for advice and on what he should do next, and I couldn't even tell him because I was in bed.
Just type an email that goes,
yeah. Well, and, you know, when I have a migraine, I can't really, you know, a computer screen just, I can't look at a computer screen for more than 3 seconds or I'm just going to really make everything go crazy, so. But I haven't been this ill for a long time. It was kind of, it brought back a lot of bad memories.
Because you don't eat meat.
Because I don't eat meat, I got sick?
Yep.
Meat prevents a person from getting sick.
Certain kinds of illness.
Well, I don't know. But anyway.
It takes a while. You have to be vegetarian for a long time, but you can get it.
So yeah, that's what happened to me, unfortunately. I wasn't really going to say very much about it, but I just got done talking about how I did all this stuff on the weekend, and everyone's probably wondering, well, who listens, who's on the project? Well, then how come you didn't update us on what's going on with the project? Well, because Sunday night is when it started, and it's pretty much only ended, like, you know, this morning. I mean, I was pretty sure I'd be able to make it to the podcast and everything. That wasn't going to be an issue, but...
I just realized I need to tell more lies on the internet. I could totally, like, make a blog with a post about how being a vegetarian will make you sick. And before you know it, people will be, like, referencing it in their stuff on Facebook. And
yeah, you're probably right.
Awesome.
You're probably right.
And I could make up way better ones than that.
Yeah.
Like that people who deny the moon landing don't exist.
Yeah, that's just a conspiracy.
Or... people who don't believe vaccinations exist.
People who don't believe vaccinations exist?
Yes. Not people who are opposed to them. People who don't think they really exist.
Oh. And those people don't exist or they do exist?
No, I'm going to write as one of them.
Oh. Vaccinations don't exist.
Yes.
Not they don't work. They don't exist at all.
They don't exist, no.
That's just the media telling you that.
And doctors injecting you with saline solution.
Oh, why are they doing that?
So you think you'll be vaccinated?
Oh, so
but,
so it's not just something you're seeing on the media. It's something that they're actually doing.
No, this is a bigger conspiracy, yeah. And this is where it gets a little prickly. The corollary to this I have to have now is then autism doesn't exist either. Seriously, I could write this on the internet. Somebody would believe it.
Probably.
I'm at least as convincing as Jenny McCarthy.
Well.
At least.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. So, yeah, what about your week?
There's not a lot going on in my week. I don't think I saw any movies. We saw a couple of comedy specials last night. Excuse me. As a piece of burp. For those wondering, I'm having Falbo's thin crust with pepperoni and bacon, which is kind of becoming my thing these days. The other day I tried sausage and bacon, not as good. Anyway. On HBO, we saw a couple of comedy specials. We saw Gerard Carmichael.
I don't know who that is.
We didn't really either. I think I knew him from At Midnight, but not really. And I think this is his first special, so I think he's still kind of new. And it was interesting. I think he's a very good comedian. I'm not sure I particularly like his stuff.
Mm.
His sort of shtick is he's one of those, like, really narcissistic superiority complex people who just, like, says horrible things. And tries to present them as logical things. He would give explanations for how, technically, objectively speaking, Hitler was a better leader than Martin Luther King Jr.
Hmm.
Things like that. And some of his stuff was pretty funny, but yeah, it was a little weird. And then we saw another Louis C.K., which is hilarious. I think it's from 2013, but he does one every year, and I just don't keep up. So I'm like, I have no... There's too many of them. But this one was called Oh My God. And we're very big fans of Louis C.K. This was not one of my favorites of his. It got better. Like, the second half, I'd say, cracked me up. The first half, I laughed in places. And it was a very good special. But on the rating of Louis C.K. specials I've seen, it probably wasn't my favorite. But the second half was pretty good. Got a lot into the idea that if murder was legal, then most everybody would be murdering somebody. Even yeah. really good people would murder a few people.
I think I've heard that.
And he has his whole bit about his high beliefs, but then these other thoughts that are wrong, but they're still there, and he calls it, of course, but maybe. And he does bits about, of course, you know, school lunches have to take into account peanut allergies, and every staff member should be aware they exist and what to do in case of that, and all of that should be documented, and everybody has to be really careful for children with peanut allergies because they're deadly. You know, it's very serious. Of course that's true. But maybe if you can die from touching a peanut, you were kind of meant to die anyway.
Man.
Yes. These are the kind of things. And he had a whole bunch of these, and they cracked me up. But yeah, so we watched that. There's not a lot else. Finally got my gaming group together, and we didn't game at all.
Why?
We just talked and shit. This happens often if we've been too long. Like, we just get on to other topics. And we talked about... we didn't talk too much about movies or the cruise, because I had already talked to some of them about the cruise. We talked about, let's see, we talked about sexual orientation and gender orientation, and then eventually talked about sex toys, and then eventually talked about cooking, and then eventually watched some YouTube videos.
And that was the order of things?
Basically, yes.
I see.
The YouTube videos I had seen earlier, somebody, so BuzzFeed apparently has this thing where they have Americans try foods from other countries and get their reactions. So somebody did a response one that was, people from India trying American sweets, and it was awesome.
It was?
It was hilarious. Because things like, well, the big one that threw them, of course, is, Pop Rocks. Pop Rocks blew their mind.
Did they like it? Or?
They did. They thought it was amazing. And then stuff like they had like Pop-Tarts. And they're like, these are so sweet. And one guy actually said, like, these would be really good, like, if I was really high. I would like these. way into Butterfinger for some reason. Yeah, it was interesting. But so then we got into, there's a whole series of those where Australians eat them, or where Americans eat Indian sweets, or where... Americans eat Japanese sweets and the whole thing. So that was really, we kind of fell down the rabbit hole of that. Yeah, there's not a lot going on. Currently I'm still playing Witcher 2, although I haven't been playing a lot of it. That game is a little too political.
Political?
Well, I was warned about this. His wife played it, and like she gave up pretty early because it was a little too political. And I'm like, oh, I like the political intrigue stuff, but that's not really the issue. The issue is Witcher has an elaborate story and an elaborate setting. It is based off of a series of books. And the games really go into that stuff.
Okay.
And it's sort of... imagine Tolkien, but way more focused on politics than mythology. So we have things where, like, I'm trying to find somebody, and so I'm sneaking into an enemy camp to find them, and I get caught, and I get taken to the main guy. And this guy, I've apparently met before, I think in this game, but I don't really remember him, because he didn't really stand out. And then he starts telling me about some event that happened in history before either of the games in the series I've played. and how most people think that it was because of these people, but in actuality, it was the influence of these countries that did it. But it's really just an anecdote. Like, it's not tying into, like, what I'm doing. And my character is very interested and kind of surprised or whatever. And then I had found this statuette earlier, and they found it on me, and like, oh, and it turns out the person I'm looking for is inside the statue and is a little statue themselves. And I'm just like, when do I get to killing people with swords again? And I'm not like that. I'm the guy who plays games for story, but I'm just like, the story has to be interesting and coherent, and this is just
irrelevant.
This is a lot of dense, irrelevant political history. And so I'll get through it, but yeah, I've been playing other sort of crap on the sides, and reading books on world building, because I'm going to invent a world for our next campaign. And in fact, I'm going to build a survey for my players to find out what kind of things they want. And I'm really building a survey, like the place where I work, that's kind of a thing we do. So I've already been talking to my boss about, like, how many options, how big a spread of the thing. She does it. She hates having a neutral option in the middle. You can't have that, because then you get no data from that. All sorts of stuff. So I'm getting way too nerdy about it. That's all I got, though. So should we do some hat stuff?
Sure.
My pizza is squishing the hat. Hold on.
My pizza is squishing the hat.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a good episode title.
You've picked a bad episode to make me do all the talking while you're eating pizza. I think I explained I haven't been feeling so good this week, so I don't know if I'm going to be up to snuff, although I think we all know that even when I'm at my best, it's not that great, so I guess it doesn't matter.
I've got pizza, so I don't care.
All right. Anonymous. What shows do you find rewatchable and which not?
I find this a very intriguing idea because that is a real thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not much of a anything. I mean, I can't think of
anything. You said on episode 211.
Yeah. This is very unusual for me. I can't think of a single book, fiction or nonfiction, that I've read more than once.
To be fair, he's only read like 6 fiction books.
Oh, I've read lots of fiction books, but I mean, even the nonfiction books I've read, I've never read them more than one time. And I'm like that with most TV shows and movies too. I just never find myself in the mood to watch, read, whatever, something that I've watched or read before. You know, I want to see something or read something or hear about something that I haven't yet.
But you do it. I mean, I'm guessing you've seen Firefly more than once.
Well, that wasn't really my idea, though.
I think that's... You probably have rewatched a lot of things because of other family members.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I have to think in terms of... If I've rewatched something, was it because I wanted to? I thought it was rewatchable, or because... Like, the show Carnival, I watched again, and it was with other people. But I did want to see it again. So that's probably one that and it held up in the second.
Well, and of course, and then there is the subset of rewatching a show specifically because you want someone else to watch it.
Yeah.
But wanting to watch it yourself, not like wanting to be there.
Yeah. We watched Smallville through a second time. And I would, you know. That also wasn't my idea, but I was not opposed to it, and I enjoyed watching it again. I watched Battlestar Galactica through again, but there were other people, but I would have done that anyway.
Generally, I want to, but I just sort of don't do it. Like, I own a lot of shows because I want to rewatch them that I've never rewatched. In fact, sitting on the table over there is the Blu-ray of the entire Farscape series, which I specifically asked for and was given 2-3 years ago. Haven't ever watched.
Well, we have quite a collection of movies and TV shows at home. But, I mean, I knew when the kids left that as soon as they were gone, I would look at that collection and think, why do we have all this? Because it's mostly for the kids that, and watching it with the kids that we had all that stuff. And I imagine we'll eventually get rid of the stuff that we're not sure we'll ever watch again. But I think the other adult in the house would be really surprised to find how little there is left once we get rid of the stuff that we'll probably never watch again.
We're kind of TV learning shows, not movies. To own stuff because we always think we'll watch it and it stays in the shrink wrap. Stuff that we already watched.
Now, some of the shows we bought, it was because we didn't have cable, you know, or the right kind of cable to see a show. And you couldn't get it online or anything. So, and we had already watched a season or two and we liked it. So we just went ahead and bought the new
season. To watch it the first time.
Yeah. And then there's a show from out of Canada called Murdoch Mysteries that we could probably watch again. I can imagine watching that again.
My parents like that one, I think. My parents like all mystery shows, but...
Well,
almost all mystery shows. My mother distinctly dislikes Elementary.
I can't, you know, I can't tell you why I find these shows rewatchable. I suppose they're just... I think it comes down, for most people, it would probably come down to the fact that there's characters you like in it, and they become kind of familiar and almost like old friends kind of a deal. So it's like you want to put the TV show or the movie in and watch it and kind of enjoy spending time with those people in a way, you know, or remembering what it was like to watch the first. Oh, well, Voyager, we've watched a couple times. Yeah. And we always liked that. There are films that we've watched several times, but again, it seems like the kids were always part of that. A lot of times comedies, because, you know, if we watch a comedy over and over, it's because there's something about it that it doesn't matter how many times we see that gag, it's still funny. Yeah.
Most of my re-consuming of media is if it's been so long that I don't remember it really well. And it's mostly often tied to there's a new thing out for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's, like, the third movie in the trilogy came out, and the first two I saw a long-ass time ago, I'll watch the first two again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There is something, and I think it is character-related, that... make stuff rewatchable, but I don't know what it is. And the great example that I always hold up that has convinced me of this is Babylon 5. Loved Babylon 5. It's still arguably one of my favorite TV shows ever. It does not hold up. And the characters in it are amazing. I love the characters in it. But when I made the producer watch it, it did not hold up so well. It wasn't terrible, but it was not as good as I remembered. And then meanwhile, there's stuff like Firefly. Now, it helps that it was a limited run, I think. But I've rewatched that a few times and just isolated episodes repeat. That holds up real well for me.
The second time I watched it, I wasn't nearly as impressed as the first time.
I was surprised to discover... And I don't watch it, because that's the thing. Like, Leverage, I own the first couple seasons of Leverage. I've never watched those DVDs. But one day, Bored Sunday or something, some channel was showing all of them, like, from the beginning. And so I was watching it a fair bit. And that show holds up really well for reasons I don't fully understand. Something about the characters is solid from the pilot, which just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I was gripped from the pilot. Having seen the whole show, I was still, like, way into it.
Hmm.
So I don't know what it is. Dean Devlin, in general, I think, makes stuff that is very watchable and rewatchable. I'm forgetting the other stuff he does. He's the executive producer on a lot of sort of popcorn shows like Leverage and stuff. Hour-long sort of drama, comedy, action things and stuff. But yeah, I don't know what it is that makes it some stuff more rewatchable like that. Because it doesn't seem to follow a pattern that I understand.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either. I mean, it for
the producers rewatched a fair bit of Buffy and seemed to enjoy that. But it's true. That's the other thing. When it's a long-running series, you rewatch it and you realize that certain seasons were way better than other seasons.
Yeah, but you know, it's hard. Like I say, my default mode is really not to be interested in watching something a second time. So yeah. I don't really. If I'm not interested in watching something again, it doesn't really mean anything about its quality. It probably says more about the shows that I do want to watch again, whatever those shows are. But I can't tell you what. I mean, I think for like Voyager, I would probably not sit down and watch Voyager by myself again. You know, the other adult in the house, we'll watch it together. Yeah. So it's kind of a us thing, you know. If I
well, and then it becomes largely nostalgia. Oh, remember when we watched?
Well, yeah, like before? There's stuff. If I go over to my older brother's house, there's stuff we'll watch. Like we went to. I think I mentioned it when it happened. I mentioned it on the podcast. They were showing Raiders of the Lost Ark in the theater in Des Moines. Again, like a couple of years ago. Well, I don't even own Raiders of the Lost Ark. I don't watch it over and over again or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, Scott and I went to see that when I was in the theater. So it was really cool to go see it in the theater, you know.
And I feel like that's a different category. There is a thing where you are presented with an opportunity to see something and nostalgia grabs at you.
Yeah.
And it is very much... You have to be presented with it. If you own it, it's not like one day you just look at your shelf and you're like, oh, I'm going to... No. It has to be something like that. Oh, they're showing this. I'm like, oh my God, I remember that. And I feel like that's a different part of the brain somehow. But your comedy is a factor. Because comedy is way more likely for that. And of course, there's the whole sitcom thing. And there are some I can and some I can't, but there's a lot of sitcoms that I can rewatch over and over again and over again. We've done it with The American Office several times. You can just sort of put that on and it'll be fine. And of course, the old Mystery Science Theater episodes. There are some of those that I have seen literally dozens of times. Because it just cracks me up that much.
Well, then... You know, there's holiday movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have and that you watch around the holidays. And, I mean, you want to see them, but that's pretty much the only time you want to see them.
Yeah, and I feel like that's another nostalgia thing.
Right.
It's like tied in.
I think you're right. But
it feels like Christmas because we're watching this.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything that I would watch again, just me, like... Like, I'm going to be home by myself for the weekend, and I don't have anything else to do, and I don't want anything else to do. I'm just going to veg in for the TV. Yeah. That sounds like fun. I just can't even think, without someone else there to watch whatever it is with me, and having some kind of, I don't know, sentimental connection there with this other person who's watching, I can't think of a single show that I'd watch just because I'd enjoy watching it myself.
Again, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because the times when I do that, and I'm much more likely to just screw around on the internet or whatever, but the times when I'm like, oh, I'm just going to watch something for the hell of it, much, much more likely to be something new.
Yeah.
Pick a random movie. Or, I mean, at this point, I have so much shit. I still have completely untouched the entire second season of Defiance. Just sitting on there. Hell, I still have Grumpy Cat's first worst Christmas movie on there. I still have the unauthorized biopic of the Saved by the Bell cast that was even earlier than the Grumpy Cat movie sitting on there. And I kind of want to see them just because I think they'll be funny and stupid. Never bother. So, yeah, I'm way more likely to grab something new. And, of course, late at night, if I'm bored and feel like watching something, I'll grab a weird-ass, like, foreign horror movie on Netflix or something. But I'm much less likely to rewatch something. There has to be... There is some weird present thing, because it's stuff... We've had this. I think the producer... There's been stuff where, like, a movie is on TV that we watched before. I'm like, oh, and we watched this. And I'm like... We own this, and we never watch it. But there's something about, you know, oh, TV is handing it to us.
Yeah. So then we watch it. And there's going to be little breaks, probably, for us to go get a drink.
Yeah, but it's also going to be edited for television because of that.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know, Anonymous. We don't understand it. It's a mystery. It's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in a riddle. Smothered in secret sauce.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I stole that from News Radio. That's a show I rewatch.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in ages.
That thing holds up pretty well. That's a pretty funny show.
Are you ready to draw something out of the hat?
Emotionally, I'm not sure I'm prepared.
Okay, well.
All right. Here we go.
That seems like it was a very long but unsatisfying answer.
Like most of our answers.
Yep.
Hey, this one's not anonymous. It's from Craig.
Oh.
You know, the Scottish guy. Not Craig Ferguson. The other Scottish guy.
The other Scottish guy named Craig. There's only two.
There's only two. And I think we have definitively established this one is not Craig Ferguson.
Well, if you say so.
I think so. I think I've seen him on, like, Facebook and stuff, so, like, oh. I know. For a while, we weren't sure, but...
Not that we were disappointed to find out. I mean... Or maybe you were. I don't know.
So, anyway. Who do you think... would win in a fight. William loves these. The Muppets or the cast of Sesame Street? Now, okay, I'm just going to get this out of the way.
You got to get...
Sesame Street, technically, those are Muppets.
Well, and there's some overlap there.
Yes. So...
Kermit.
I think we're gonna have to
just
say...
Kermit, I guess.
We're going to have to say the cast of The Muppet Show versus the cast of Sesame Street, and Kermit has to referee.
He Kermit's not part of it?
No. Okay. I don't think... Which side, you know? It's tricky.
No, I agree with that.
And let's throw out all plain humans.
Okay.
Because that's not fair.
Okay, so...
The humans in suits or humans with their hands up guys' butts, you know, obviously have to be there.
All right.
But humans just being humans, I think, are out.
It seems like a fairly obvious question.
Oh?
I think so.
I don't know.
What do the Sesame Street Muppets have to offer to this thing?
I think in general... Well, okay, there's a couple of things. Sesame Street Muppets are much better educated. They're all fairly autodidactic, and they've learned a lot of skills. Not all of them are going to apply in a fight, you know. Combining two halves of words to make other words, or, you know, knowing about near and far might help. But, I mean, in general, I feel like Sesame Street Muppets are more intellectual, and so they have knowledge on their side. They probably have a better tactical understanding. And when I look at it, at least if you're dealing with primary cast, I feel like size is on Sesame Street's side. big bird, Snuffleupagus. They got a lot of monsters over there. I know there's a lot of monsters in Muppet Show, too, but there's a lot of monsters in Sesame Street. But, of course, the tricky part is I feel like the Muppet Show guys are way more cutthroat and ruthless. And, of course, there's the Gonzo factor. And that's just a wild card in any battle situation.
But here's the thing, too. The Muppet Show Muppets have explosives.
They do. That's true.
And Muppets who know how to use them. Plus, they have a lot of science over there. I mean, I'm not so sure that...
They got Beaker and Honeydew. That's a good
right.
point.
I'm not so sure that, you know, I don't know what their education level is as a whole, but they've got some brains over there. Or at least just enough to be dangerous.
I did forget about them. That's true.
I can't imagine there really being any contest here at all.
Well, and there's even the greater factor. Sesame Street's morals are going to get in the way. I'm betting a significant percentage of the Sesame Street Muppets are pacifists. And Muppet Show Muppets, some of them are heartless bastards.
Well,
there's some real assholes over there.
I'm going to guess the Sesame Street Muppets are not pacifists, actually. I think you're probably going to find more patriots over there than you do on the Muppet Show. No offense to the Muppet
Show.
Well,
but that's not the same thing, though.
No, I know it's not. But I think they are the kind of patriots who, if it came to it...
You think they'd do malicious stuff?
Well, I can't tell for sure because I haven't spent very much time in New York City, but they look like they're from a part of town that probably...
Wait, Sesame Street's in New York?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I think they come from a part of town that probably...
Do you know how to get there? Can you tell me?
That probably has given its share of men and women to the service of the fire department, the police department, the military.
Yeah, but I feel like Sesame Street has undergone some gentrification.
Well, that might be true. That might be true.
There's a significant population that is just sort of hipster assholes. I don't think they'll fight. But you're right. I mean, there are some hardcore there.
But the Muppet Show Muppets, while I really don't know... I wouldn't say they're less patriotic than the Sesame Street Muppets.
Well, we got the eagle guy.
Yeah. I wouldn't say they're less patriotic than the Sesame Street Muppets, but they... They're not mean or angry. They're just crazy, right? I mean...
Well, some of them are mean. Some of them are outright murderers. I'm pretty sure some of them have actually killed people.
Yeah, but it not because they're nuts. I mean, it's just a collection of crazy people. And so when you get a collection of crazy people against a collection of people who aren't crazy, and it doesn't matter how smart that other group is or how... committed those people are to winning the fight or whatever, there's not a lot you can do against crazy people. Unless you're the one that's got the guns and explosives or whatever, but you're not.
Yeah.
The crazy people do. So, I just don't see how the Sesame Street
and
Muppets would last very
They long. Have an entire psychological ops division of Statler and Waldorf. I mean, they would just mock the enemy and you know, demoralize them.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think it's definitely Muppet Show. Now, this is on a neutral battlefield, you know. If
all things being equal, yeah.
Yeah, if Sesame Street has home court advantage, if the Muppet Show is laying siege to actual Sesame Street, I think it's a whole other ballgame.
No, you're probably right about that.
But I mean, that's too big of a factor to just add in.
Yeah. Yeah, things get complicated really fast when you switch it around to that.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, no, I was thinking, as you were saying, like, a lot of pictures, I'm like, yeah, see, if they were defending the homeland, that would be a thing.
Well, and Big Bird, a lot of people don't realize this about him, but don't get him in a corner. I mean, he will mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
And don't threaten any of his friends, because you are going to be a goner. But the problem is, they're not all Big Bird. And Oscar the Grouch, he's a lot of talk, but he cannot deliver.
Yeah, no, he's a wuss.
Yeah.
Big Bird's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
I swear I'm not making this up. Big Bird once ate an American flag.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I read about this recently. They had an episode where he ate an American flag. And apparently, it was an attempt of, like, teaching a lesson about there's some things you shouldn't swallow or whatever. But mostly, everybody just flipped the fuck out.
Well,
yeah. The audience, I mean, not the cast members, but yeah. Because they came up with this, and Big Bird, and I don't even think there's any explanation at first or anything. Like, there's an American flag, and he balls it up, and he throws it in his mouth, and he swallows it.
Yeah. That's Big Bird right there.
Yeah. Well, and you know, all sorts of things. Miss Piggy's got martial arts training.
Yep.
I still think the Gonzo Factory is huge.
No, you're right about that.
Now, there are ways around it, you know.
I mean, literally, cannon fodder.
A hostage situation with some of his chickens changes the game. But.
Yeah, but then there's everybody else.
Yeah, and that Bolshevik dude.
An animal.
Animal.
You send Animal in,
yeah.
And, you know, he's going to take a few out right there. But, like I said, Big Bird is a force to be reckoned with. I mean,
That would be awesome.
He probably ate that American flag just to dare someone to do something about it, you know?
That I want to see. I want to see, like, a Thunderdome thing with Animal versus Big Bird. I'm not positive who will win,
no,
but it will be bloody.
That's a good fuzzy. That's a good one. I'd say Animal versus... I could probably name 10 Sesame Street Muppets that, you know, are not Elmo or anything. I mean, these... on serious level... serious level Muppets that you get 10 of them together and Animal could take them. But
I like that Elmo is the shit example. Didn't even go for Telly. I would have gone for Telly.
Nah.
Elmo, like, no, I could kick Elmo.
No, like, you know, Muppets closer to, like, you know, the Bert level or even Cookie Monster. Get 10 of those against Animal, and I'm pretty sure Animal could take them. But Animal just versus Big Bird? That would be hard to call.
And a lot of animals attack, I feel like it's going to be a kamikaze thing. I don't feel like animals necessarily coming back.
Well,
he's taking a lot out of them.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's true for a lot of the Muppets. That's the thing, is I feel like the battle becomes different when you don't care for your own safety, and so many of the Muppets don't care about their own safety.
No, that's true. Well, like I say, they're crazy.
Yeah, no, so the Muppets would pretty much clean house.
Cookie Monster is not a fighter either.
No, he's an eater.
Yeah.
And he's pretty bad at that because
he's spilling all over himself. Yeah. So you can't really rely on him. And Grover, not very reliable.
However, Super Grover.
Well, yeah, you've got Super Grover. Yeah, that's true. Super Grover. That is something to consider, but... No, I just think it's just that question's too easy.
No, I do think it's pretty one sided. That being said, I think I would like to see it. I think it would be pretty impressive to watch. I think a mini series, like a PBS mini series about the war between. I think that would be good. I would watch that.
And reading letters from the
exact
as the war drags on.
Dear Bert. It has been 12 days since we started the seed. Rubber ducky, my love.
What, Bert stayed home? Is that...
Bert stayed home. It's all fires burning. I don't know. Ernie was the only one I could successfully manage.
I get it.
All right. One more. Make it a quick one.
Make it a quick one. How do you do that?
Draw the right question.
Didn't you, in the last podcast, didn't you explain to everybody how they're always random and I can't...
Yeah, and you've explained them other times too, but...
Right, so how I can't make the right question come out.
Do better.
Yeah.
Draw the right random question.
Anonymous. I think someone's asked this question before.
Ooh.
Greetings, voices. Voices and hat? Greetings, voices.
We're the voices. It's the hat.
Oh. What famous person would be best fit to play you in a movie?
I do feel like this has come up before. This is a complicated question often. The traditional answer for me was Robin Williams. I'll tell you, actually, since seeing The Imitation Game, I think Benedict Cumberbatch, if he could overcome the accent issue, could do a decent William. I think that's quite possible.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. On a good day, Harvey Fierstein, but that's not normal. You know, give him 10 years, and Chris Pratt could probably do a good me.
No, that's true.
Yeah, he needs a little time. Well, honestly, and this isn't just because I look like Hagrid, Robbie Coltrane. Again, if you can get the accent, sure. I think Robbie Coltrane is pretty
sure.
good.
Sure.
Now that he's like 98 or whatever, Jeff Bridges would probably do well at me.
Jeff Bridges. Question. Best fit to play you. It's like fit. Like, I mean, I'm not so complicated a character. I mean, just about any actor is probably fit to play me in terms of acting chops, if that's what you mean.
No, because I do feel like there's a nuance to your personality that they would have to get down. I mean, they could do like a 5-minute imitation of you, but to play you like in a biopic or something.
Nuance.
Melcher, yeah. Dallas, etc. That's the William Wright story.
That's a word people always use to describe me, nuanced.
People who know you do.
I suppose.
Actually, who would have been ideal, which I guess I could say that Robin Williams here. Philip Seymour Hoffman would play an impeccable me.
No? Yeah? Totally agree. Totally agree. Ah, that's so sad about him.
It is. Him, it's interesting, like how much it gets me when he died, or Robin Williams, or Gregory Hines. That one hit me surprisingly. I was a big Gregory Hines fan. And one of those I sort of didn't know until he was dead that I realized that. Heath Ledger, huge. And meanwhile, it gets sad because then there's like Brittany Murphy.
That was pretty sad. Tragic.
It was
thing.
A sad death, but I don't feel like it was a loss to art.
Well,
you know,
I suppose it's.
I feel weird about
taste,
that.
I'm sure.
But yeah. But it is, I mean, because people die, and famous people die, and just sometimes I'm like, oh man, I really wanted to see what they were gonna do.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want anybody to die. Well, that's not true. I don't want anybody to die, and there are very few people I want to die. maybe I don't want anybody to die. No, I work on that. I might be there now. I don't know.
I can't think of anyone in particular I want to see dead.
But there are some.
There are people in my life that other people think I should wish were dead, but I don't.
Yeah, I
don't.
I always just think it's easier to wish that they had no interaction with you for the rest of existence. You know,
yeah.
Be like, I wish them a wonderful, happy life elsewhere.
Yeah.
Oprah. Oprah would probably play you well.
You think?
I think
Ellen DeGeneres would play me well. Spot on.
You think you're joking. I could see that. And so could that guy, apparently. Ellen DeGeneres could do... Ellen DeGeneres made an app.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with her. But it's awesome.
It is?
Baby? What's that game called that you got on your phone that Ellen DeGeneres did?
Heads Up. It is fun.
It is.
There are different decks of cards in it. And you pick one, and it's like, you know, celebrity couples or something, and you start it, and you put the phone or whatever on your forehead.
Okay.
So the other person looking at you can see it, and you cannot.
Hmm.
And you're timed, and they give clues without saying who it is or rhyming, and in certain ones there's other restrictions, and you have to guess, and if you guess it right, you tilt the phone up, and the gyros feel that, and so it moves on, or if you have to pass, you tilt it down, and you pass. And it's hilarious, and it's really fun. And it's a great... You have your phone there, or my iPod, and, like, you're waiting in line or something. Like, it's a real easy just-pass-the-time kind of thing. And it's remarkably fun.
Huh.
So heads up. Check it out.
That's cool.
And, yeah, Ellen DeGeneres made it, quote-unquote. Like, her thing. But whatever. Yeah. All right, we should probably wrap this up.
Okay.
Got shit to do. All right. If you would like your question randomly drawn out of the hat, your odds are much better if you actually submit one.
Oh, lots better.
Yes. Go to themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. Email that address, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com, and write some shit, and it'll happen. Also, go to themagicaltalkinghead.com and tell us what you thought about this episode, what you think about us, what you think about pizza, and what you think about Muppets fighting.
Yeah?
Did you tell William last week that we visited the shop?
Yes.
We visited the shop.
In Denver.
Oh, yeah.
We covered that.
He said that Ezzy's price was reduced.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, go to the shop in Denver Airport, the gift shop. You'll find it. Keep looking. And like us on Facebook. And, you know, be excellent to each other. I might have stolen that.
Yeah, I think you did.
All right. Oh, George Carlin. That's enough. But I don't feel as bad because he was old. You know, I'm like, I mean, I'm sad to have lost him, but I'm not like, oh, what is going to be his next best thing? Yeah, no, he was not going to. George Carlin had peaked, I think, by that point.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.